States stand. Franchises are available. I was going to open up a franchise. I was thinking about it. And maybe somebody will take my idea and run with it. We need a Tim Hortons right out here. This old Burger King that's sitting here, this empty shack. Well, there's two Tim Hortons in town, and they're both by my house. That makes no sense to me. You're going to put a Tim Hortons in, at least separate them a little bit, so when I'm driving around, I don't have to go to the same street right down from each other. Put one right here. That would be a great place. And if you ever come out here and see all the cars, by the way, it's about $300,000 to get into a Tim Hortons franchise, plus you got to buy the building, which is actually ready to go. Just a little thought. Some of you are thinking, that's a lot of money and that's a big risk. My dad had an opportunity to start a franchise. When I was in high school, I went to school with Mick Fairs. Mick Fairs is on my speed dial. He likes to golf. Now, it's been 25 years since I've been in high school, but Mick and his brother Jim in Ipswich, South Dakota, got this grand idea. They said, we're going to start a franchise. Franchises are available, by the way. And so they decided to open up this little franchise, brand new, never been done before, at least the name of what they were going to do. And so they got together, got some guys, said, we need some money in Ipswich, South Dakota. So they went to a few farmers and said, hey, you jump in, it'll cost you $10,000 to get in. And so they went to my dad and they said, hey, Bob, how'd you like to be a part of this franchise? And my dad says, okay, tell me about it. So they sat down with him, the guy I went to high school with, sitting down with my dad and his brother. And they sit down and Johnny Hoffman, who farmed down the road from us and wasn't a very good farmer. And they sat down and said, okay, here's the plan. And they laid out this plan. And my dad says, yeah, I'm in. $10,000. Now, that's a risk, okay? It's always a risk to jump into a franchise. But, you know, for a farmer, I'm thinking, what's the big deal when you spend $1 million on a combine, okay? What's $10,000? That's like losing a couple of acres of crops, okay? And so my dad was in. His brother and him, my dad's brother and my father, farm about 9,000 acres and ranch, about 9,000 acres and cattle and stuff. And so 10,000, he's in. My dad's brother, though, one day is talking to my father and says, you know, Bob, I'm not sure this is such a good risk. You know, I mean, come on, these guys, what do they really know about this? And so my dad thinks about it and says, you know, you're right. I'm not going to do it. And he backs out. Now, I ran into Mick a few years ago in Ipswich. And I said, how are things going? He says, things are going quite well. We just sold our company to the Japanese. I said, really? He goes, yeah, but we retain several rights to sell them stuff to stock in the bathrooms, like the soap and the towels. They had a little company in Ipswich they started called Super 8 Motels. And my dad could have been a part of this at the very beginning, which they sold for hundreds of millions of dollars, obviously. And instead of building a little lemonade stand, I'd have this plated with gold this morning. Build a franchise. It's a risk. And you can have a franchise in your life. And I'm going to invite you to join and let's take some of that advice. And the thing about the Super 8 Hotel that went so well is they did something that the other hotels weren't doing. Instead of going where these super metropolises are and these exits where, you know, Holiday Inn and Ramada would go and say, oh, we got to get one right across the street. They'd go to towns where there were no hotels and they would build these Super 8s. I mean, come on, Ipswich, South Dakota. And they built the first one about 25 minutes away in a small town called Aberdeen where the headquarters was. And they got a great idea. We're going to go where other hotels aren't and we're going to build hotels. And let's just take that for a moment this morning. And let's build a lemonade stand. Let's do what most churches aren't doing. Let's go build lemonade stands where people are instead of building churches where people aren't. Does that make sense? We tend to build churches and then say, I hope somebody will come to it. And I say, let's build a lemonade stand and let's go out where the people are. So go build a lemonade stand. Franchises are available this morning. If you have your Bibles, I want to show you how to... I've got my lemonade stuff up here, and I got a few things that'll help us maybe build a lemonade stand. The first thing you got to do, if you want to open up your own lemonade stand, by the way, I had somebody say, this would be great at the end of my road. My daughter is so cute. Her and her friends in our neighborhood, we've got to have like 20 kids in our neighborhood. And a couple of the girls every once in a while get together and they'll they'll get the cooler out there and they'll get an umbrella and they'll sit out there and they'll sell lemonade. And it's just so cute driving around because we live in a cul-de-sac. We don't get a lot of traffic. And she'll come in after an hour. Nobody's buying lemonade. I said, well, nobody's driven by for an hour, you know. There's nobody here. And they want to go down to the main road and open up. They're expanding, okay? It's so cute to watch these girls sitting out there selling lemonade. Of course, and you know what you have to do? You have to, if you see it, you have to stop. You ever been there? You see someone, you're like, and you know the lemonade's probably going to be warm. And it may have like 1,000 grams of too much sugar in it anyway. And you taste it, you're like, wow. And they say, how is it? And it's like, good. You want to buy another one? I don't know if you've ever been there. It's like, okay, you know, no, here's a dollar. Keep it and sell it to the next person. You're just so excited that they're there. And I want to tell you, there's something about it as a Christian. Instead of sitting in church going, well, I hope people come. And by the way, I got to say, I'm excited that you're all here. It's good to have you here. It's packed this morning for a summer day. Maybe we should just put out there free air conditioning and free lemonade. I think we could do that and we'll just pack the place out some more. But you know, I'm so glad you're here. But here's the deal. I don't want you here, okay? I mean, today, yes, I do. But tomorrow, I want you to take and open up a lemonade stand somewhere. Go out somewhere and build your own lemonade stand. And I think people say, what are you doing here? And you say, well, the pastor told me to open up my own franchise. What are you talking about? Church doesn't happen here. Because you showed up this morning doesn't make you a Christian. It just makes you religious. Because I'm a Christian, I will show up here because it's part of what God wants out of my life. It's because of what I want in my life. But if you show up here because you say, I got to show up here because that's what I do, then you've just become religious. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But let me tell you what I want you to do. First of all, if you're going to open a franchise, you need to mix it up. That's what the Bible says in 2 Timothy. Look at the very first verse there in chapter 4. It says, in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of what? Help me. In view of what? His appearing and His kingdom. And then he says three words. What is it? Preach the word. Mix it up. Come on, get out there. Mix it up a little bit with people. You ever mix it up with people? Jesus always mixed it up with people. Look who He hung out with. My life verse is Matthew 9:9. Jesus goes, He says, hey, Matthew, come on. And He goes to this tax collector's booth. He had His own little franchise. He says, hey, come with me. And Matthew, he's sitting back there. Did you see Matthew? I'm here to do your taxes, you know. It's like an H&R Block stand back in the day. And he's sitting there, but he was a ripoff because that's how he got his money. And he's ripping people off. Come on. You got a couple guards standing here, a couple cops, Roman soldiers. You paid up or you were going to jail. And Jesus says, hey, leave that franchise. I got one for you. He gets up and he goes, okay. And a bunch of his friends, these partiers, these wild people. He says, hey, come on with me. What's going on? Jesus is coming to my house. What are we going to do? We're going to barbecue. Jesus goes to their house and here comes all the religious people. And they go, what are you doing? What are you doing with those people? He says, I'm mixing it up. He says, we don't hang around with those kind of people. Those aren't church kind of people. And Jesus goes, you don't understand. You need to mix it up. The church is a hospital, not a museum. You got to mix things up. And then he goes along and he sees this woman. And he goes over to this woman. And she's down on the ground and there's all these guys standing around with these rocks. And they're just about to club her. I mean, they're just about to take these huge rocks. And if you've ever seen a rock fight, it's pretty bloody. I've seen a couple of them when I was in Jamaica building a church. They don't fight. You're not supposed to have guns and weapons on the island. They use rocks. And kids have scars all over the place. I watched this one lady come up to this kid who'd beat up her kid. And this lady, this mom, started throwing rocks and stoning this kid. And I was like, whoa, time out. And rocks were flying. I said, I think I just got in a gang war. And I just kind of stepped out of the alley. They're standing there to this lady who's been down, and they're going to stone her to death. They're going to kill her with rocks and stones. They're going to bludgeon her to death because she's a prostitute. And Jesus comes along and says, hey, what's going on here? And he kind of steps into the middle of this thing. He says, hold on, woman. You want your sins to be forgiven? And she just kind of looks up with him in those eyes. She goes, and she's got lemons in her life. I'd love to have my life different. You don't understand how sour my life is. Every man I ever find uses me. The men in my life, I seem to find the same kind of guys and they use me. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if a few of these men standing with rocks. I wouldn't be surprised that some of these preachers. And she's sitting there and he says, "Woman, your sins are forgiven." And he builds a lemonade stand right there. And these guys look and they go, "Excuse me? We're going to kill her because she's..." And I don't know what he did, but the Bible says he started drawing in the ground something in the sand. And I don't know what he was writing, but there's a lot of speculation. Was he writing a few of their sins? Was he writing their names down? And it says, one by one, they dropped their rocks and walked away. And there was Jesus setting up a lemonade stand, and he was mixing it up. Jesus is always mixing. Then he comes and he finds these lepers, 10 of them. And he goes over and he touches them, and they're like, "Whoa, you don't touch that. You don't touch people like that." And Jesus says, "You got to mix it up." And he starts mixing it up, and he heals one of the lepers. Well, he heals all of them, and I'm sorry, and one of them comes back and says, "Thank you." He says, "Wait, didn't I heal all of you guys?" And he's touching people, and he's doing these things, and people are just kind of going, "Who is this guy? He's mixing it up." And I want to tell you something. You got to mix it up. And if you're going to mix it up, here's what you need to do. The Bible says, "I give you this charge. I want you to mix things up." And so there's three parts to mixing things up. There's the lemons. I guarantee you, if you walk out these doors today, you can't even hardly get 15 minutes away. You can find lemons in life. You might even find lemons in life if you meet someone here and talk to them after service. You might find yourself praying with someone after service who's saying, "Lord, I'm concerned that my life is about to change for my three kids. I may have a disease." You may find lemons before you even walk out these doors. You got lemons. There are lemons in life. Then the Bible says there's living water. See, you got to have lemons to make lemonade. You just have to. You can't have good lemonade without lemons. So guess what? To have lemonade, you have to have lemons. Maybe that's why the Lord allows things to happen in this world, so that you can set up a lemonade stand. Then you got to have water. The Bible says, Jesus says, "I am the living water. Anyone who drinks this water will never thirst again." And then you got to squeeze the lemon. You got to squeeze it. You can't just have it. You got to squeeze it, which means you got to get and be a part of it. You got to mix it up. And then the last thing you got to have, you got to have some sugar. And that's going to sweeten it all up. Now, here's what I think. I think God has put me on this earth for one purpose. There are people out there with lemons, and they're coming along in life, and they're praying, "Oh God, please help me. I'm at the end of my rope. That rope's about that short. I'm looking down. I'm hanging at the end of this rope. And God, I can't go any further in my life." And they got lemons. And here as a Christian, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the God of Maker of heaven and earth. I believe that He is in charge of everything. And I'm walking along and saying, "God, how do you want to use me?" And I've got a franchise. I've got my own lemonade stand. And God says, "Here's what I want you to do." Just like Jeanette this morning, how appropriate that God says, "Hey, Jeanette, get out of the church." And she gets up and walks out of church. I said, "Keith, where's your wife?" "Oh, she left." "Where'd she go?" "Oh, she's out there trying to bring people in." And she's walking along, and who knows who she's going to run into. You know what happens? Is you start running into people like this. "Please, God, help me. Please, God, help me. Please, God, help me." And then you're over here with your lemonade stand. "Please, God, let me help you. Please, God, let me help you. Please, God, let me help you." And you know what happens? You got the living water over here saying, "God, I got the living water, Jesus Christ, in my life." And you got people with lemons over here going, "Please, God, help me. This is sour. My life's sour." And what happens? Right at the intersection of life, you get the sugar. It is sweet. And they come together, and all of a sudden, you get a miracle. And that's where miracles happen. Miracles happen when you bring your lemonade stand to people with lemons and you get sugar out of it, because it is as sweet as life can get. And when you get miracles, I don't know about you, but I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. That God, she's saying, pull up all the slides, pull up all the things. There's got to be a spot. I saw them. The doctor saw them. They're going, no. How sweet is that when someone's praying and someone's setting up a lemonade stand and you come together in the intersection, you get miracles. You got to mix it up in life. You got to be willing to mix it up. Most people are afraid to mix it up. It's so hard. Well, who do I talk to? Where do I start? You got to go. You just got to go. I remember when we were on the streets of Toronto, I took a bunch of teens up there. There are 10,000 homeless kids on the streets of Toronto every summer. Lindsay was up there with us. We went out on the streets. We went witnessing to the homeless and the hookers. That's what we did. We were out on the streets. And the homeless, these kids that run away, 10,000 kids in downtown Toronto. And there we were. I was right in the middle. We were at this one park where a lot of the kids hang out, and they have these things called tags. A tag is a name, so if they're arrested, they don't have their real names. What are they going to do to them? They're going to have to release them eventually. And so I was hanging around with these guys. I was hanging around with Psycho and a couple of his friends. That's their tags. And they gave me a tag. They welcomed me in because I sat around with them talking to them. I just sat around mixing it up. That's all I did. I took my lemonade stand. I parked it right in the park. And they said, hey, you want to stay the night? We'll bring a grill out. We'll get you a sleeping bag. You can hang out with us. And I'm like, well, that's pretty cool. Thanks. I said, no, I'm going to get back, but I'll hang out. We hung out till about 3-4 in the morning every night with these guys. And they brought me in. I mean, at one point, I mean, all the guys are sitting around there. They're passing around drugs, getting high. And as it came by me, they'd hand it and say, hey, preach, you want some of this? I said, no, I don't do that. And I didn't say, oh, you sinners. Oh. Come on. Hey, folks, come on. There are people who look down on people because of what they do, rather than who they are. Now listen, I don't agree with getting high, but it is not my place sitting there with these people to start telling them all the horrible things in their life. They already know they got lemons. You think they're saying to themselves, boy, I'm sure glad I'm not successful. I'm sure glad I don't have a house. I'm sure glad I'm on drugs. Boy, this is the best thing ever happened to me. They got lemons and they know they got lemons. I don't have to remind them of their lemons. I don't have to sit there and squeeze the lemons right over the top of them going, ah, your life stinks. No, I'm over here saying, God, use me. God, use me. God, use me. And I'm able to share the hope of Jesus Christ with these guys. We were walking down, I love this, right around Yonge Street, downtown Toronto, which is wild. You turn the corner on Girard, and we stayed at this place, the Neil Weissach Center. And right around the corner is Church Street. And if you look out the window, you'll see prostitutes just by the scores all the way around the block and right on up Church Street. So one night, a couple of us went out, and I said, let's go talk to these people. Because you know what usually happens? People come by, and they're like, hey, ah, and they're saying things, and I said, let's go talk to them. Let's find out their stories. Let's find out. Did they say one day, you know, I sure hope men would abuse me. I hope to sell my body. I hope to be numb in every sense of who I am and hope the pain goes away and then maybe go use drugs to forget about it. We went, walked up to these two gals, and we just started talking to them. I don't remember their names. I do remember their faces. This has been several years. I can still remember the one lady's face because as I began to talk to her, I heard her story. And she said, I have a teenage daughter. I said, really? Well, what's her name? And she told me. I said, well, what does your daughter do? She goes, well, right now, she says, Pastor, could you pray for her? I said, sure. She said, she's on the mission field. My daughter's a Christian. And next year, she's going to a Christian college. And I'm going, wow. I said, a Christian school? And she told me the school, and she goes, it's a lot of money. It's the best thing for my daughter. She doesn't know I'm a prostitute. She thinks I'm an exotic dancer, which is bad enough. She has no idea that I'm on the streets tonight hooking. I said, how can I pray for you? She says, pray that I can afford for her to go to school. Man, now I've got a mess. Put this in your theology and try to figure it out. Stuff it somewhere between 1 Maccabees and Bell and the Dragon in your Bible. Some of you are going, what book is that? And others are going, yeah? I said, Lord, please? Wait. Okay, she needs to go to college. She needs to make money to pay for her daughter to go to college. It's good that she's a Christian and she's going to a Christian school, but the only way she's going to be able to go there is if her mom is successful at what she does. Now, I don't know about you, but God in heaven, how do you pray? How do you pray this prayer? What do you pray? You're not praying, oh, Lord, bless her in her job. But you're saying, Lord, this is the best. Life isn't so simple, is it? And I met this lady, and she's a real lady, and she has a real family, and she has real issues, and she has lemons. And I came along and said, you know what? I'm going to pray for your daughter. It's been a lot of years. I still think about that. I don't know whatever happened in that situation, but can I tell you something? We need to mix it up. We need to mix it up with people. And God loves everybody. You can build a franchise, a lemonade stand, wherever you go, on the streets of Toronto, at your workplace, in your home, in your neighborhood. You can build it. You got to mix it up and make that happen. The second thing is, you got to open it. You've got to open your franchise. You need to be open. Look at what the Scripture says. I give you this charge. Verse 2. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. You got to be ready out of season. Can I tell you the easiest thing to do is to be a Christian in season? I am a Christian in season most of the time. You ever been a Christian out of season? You ever have your franchise open? Your phone ever ring at 2 in the morning? Can you come help me? Who is this? Have you ever been driving and you're in a hurry and you see a broken down car and you're like, you feel that nudge of, I should stop? You ever been in those kind of situations? That's out of season, because not now. And the Bible says you need to be open all the time and be ready for everything. Be ready, it says, in season and out of season. In season and out of season. I get phone calls like that a lot. You say, well, you're a preacher. You should be ready for that. I'm a preacher, but I got a wife and I got 5 kids. And they go to school. They have bus routes. We have bills to pay. I have honeydews at home, too. I have a lawn to mow. I run around and take the kids to sports and to friends. Hey, I'm just like you guys. I have a life, too. I serve the same God. He has the same call in my life. I have a lemonade stand. And because I've opened up a lemonade stand, God says, I want you to keep that lemonade stand open all the time. Isn't it a terrible thing? You ever been driving and the gas station's not open and you need gas? You ever go to the store? I've got to get something to store. And you go, it's closed. There's nothing more frustrating than that. We were driving through Minnesota one time and we were out of gas. We couldn't find an open gas station. Now, Minnesota, the southern part of Minnesota on I-90 does not have a lot of places to stop. And I thought, we're going to end up in one of these little valleys doing this in our van with all the kids. I said, kids, pray. Pray at the next exit. One, there's a gas station. Two, that they're open. And we got there on fumes. Isn't it frustrating when you go somewhere and it's not open? I wonder how many non-Christians, people just look at Christians and go, you're not very open, are you? You're just not open. You talk about Christianity, but you're not open half the time. Most of the time, you do your own thing. The other time, you show up behind your lemonade stand and you just want a drink, but you're not open. You only open when you want to, and you don't keep very good hours. In fact, some people only keep the hours of 10 to noon on a given Sunday. Some even open up on a Wednesday. Some may even open up at dinner time for about 5 minutes of a prayer for that meal. I'm saying open up your life. It will change everything about you if you'll open up. I got a phone call one night about 11 o'clock, 10:30, 11 o'clock. Said, could you come to the hospital, Pastor? I said, who's in the hospital? Somebody from our church? No, you don't know them. And it goes through my mind. I'm at home with my family. Why would I want to get out of my bed and go to the hospital for someone I don't know? I said, okay, do they have a family, a church family? No. Do they have a pastor? No. Do they know anything about God? I don't think so. Could you please come over and meet me at the hospital? And I went over. I said, absolutely. I'm open 24/7, like 7-Eleven, which actually is kind of ironic because they have locks on their doors. No locks on the door, okay? And so I got up and I went over and I met this gal at the hospital. And as a result of that, I end up going into the hospital because the girl's name was Kayla. And I said, okay, God, you know, and I'm doing this. Remember the intersection. I'm kind of going, God, use me, God, use me, God, use me. What am I doing? I don't know this person. What am I going to say? This girl's in a coma. She's 15. She just gave birth to a little baby who's being shipped out to Children's. And they said, brain dead. And over here, there's prayers. End of my rope. End of my rope. God, help me. God, help me. God, help me. I don't even know if they know God. We're coming to the intersection. I walk into the hospital room and I said, I don't know you guys. And I'm a pastor. And I got introduced. I'm standing there with about 8 family members looking at a little 15-year-old girl who the doctor said there's no brain activity in her brain stem. She's dead. Her brain dead. She's done. She's in this coma. And I said, okay, Lord, what are we going to do? And then they said, her name is Kayla. And when I heard that, it took me back a lot of years in my life where I had lemons, where a long time ago a girl cried out, please come, please come. I got on an airplane and I flew. because my sister, who had a baby named Kayla, was in a coma, and the doctor said she was brain dead. And I thought, here I am years later. And God chose to take that baby home. I said, okay, God, here I am. And we prayed. I said, God, what do you want? He said, set up a lemonade stand right here. I got my anointing oil out according to James 5:16. We anointed that girl. And I said, in the name of Jesus, God, if you want to perform a miracle, it's going to be Christmas in a few days. What a great time. These people don't know you. If you would show yourself to them, if you would just do a miracle, then the glory of God would be revealed. Because that's the only reason He does miracles, is so that people would go, He is God and there's no one else. And when the doctor said there's no one else, that's the lemon. And then He brings the living water in. That's us. Then the sugar comes. And Kayla's been with us the last couple weeks worshiping because God healed her and raised her out of that deathbed. Raised her up. You say, I've never seen a miracle. I'm seeing them all the time. The reason you don't see miracles is because God has His will and it's going just like this. And the Bible says He's got His will. And then we have our will and it's going just like this. The Bible says that He might, the appearing of His kingdom. God is going to do certain things. God has a will. Can I tell you something in His will? He's going to defeat the devil. He's creating a new heaven. He sent Jesus Christ for you and me. And He's going to reign forever and ever. And some people are going to spend their eternity with Him in heaven. That's going to happen. And then there's my will. And my will is, what am I going to do today? I put on polka dot socks because I couldn't find my solid blacks. That was my will. My wife was just happy they matched. That's her will. And we're walking in this will, and we're walking in this will, and somewhere along the line I could say, well, I could see God's will. That is going to happen, and then I have my will. This could happen. And if I say my could will be a part of His would, then the two things come together, and God begins to work in our lives in intersections. Because God's already doing things, and He's doing miracles. The question is, do you want to be a part of that in your life? What do you want to be a part of? I want to be a part of this, and go through life hoping that I can squeeze my own lemons and take care of my own life. Or I want to say, God, You give me the living water. I'll step into Your miracles and I'll be a part of this. I'm open. God, I am open. I am open every day. What do You want me to do every day of my life? Are you open to God? Open up a lemonade stand. It's really cool. You'll be amazed at who will stop by. You'll be amazed at who will come by to your lemonade stand if you open this up. You know what? That's just attractive. If I stick this up outside my neighborhood, I guarantee you, I'd be surprised who would stop by to see what I've got going. God wants to do miracles in your life. But sometimes we're so tired. I heard a story, and I had to do some follow-up on this. Still not quite sure the validity of it, but it's pretty confirmed. One night, a mom and dad, and I know moms and dads, sometimes it's hard to pray for your kids. This mom and dad woke up in the middle of the night, and they just felt their daughter, who was closing at her workplace, they just felt impressed. They got out of their beds, they got on their knees, and they opened up their lemonade. And they started praying. God, please protect her. We don't know what's going on. They just felt that, you know, parent overwhelming sense. Their daughter got home about a half an hour later. She came in. She was breathing heavy. She was panicked. They said, what happened? And she said, when I got out of work, I went out to my car and there were some gang members standing around my car. And they were laughing and saying stuff. And I thought, I knew I was in danger. And I just wanted to get in my car. They let me get in my car. And they were even laughing harder when I got in and saying, oh, she thinks she's going to get away. And she said, I sat down at my steering wheel and I just began to pray. And I started the car and I drove away. And they just laughed and laughed. And then they kind of quit laughing as I was driving away. Well, these guys had some intentions. And the dad hearing this says, what time was that? And it was the same time that God had woken them up. Because you see, their lemonade stands open all the time because life is happening. And they got up and they were obedient to God. They got on their knees because God told them to pray. See, their will lining up with His will. And here's where the sweet stuff comes in. Dad, knowing better, goes out to the car, pops open the hood, looks inside, and all the cables to the distributor were cut. This girl drove without any power from the battery to her car. And that's why these guys were laughing. These guys were laughing because she wasn't going anywhere. And they weren't laughing anymore when she drove away. Because she drove away in the sweet stuff of God. And these guys go, okay, something just took place. And mom and dad knew why. Because you see, you walk in the miracles of God. You got to mix it up and then you got to be open. And then you got to take a stand to the world. You see, most of the time we build these stands in church. We've got to build a stand in the world. The Bible says, look at verse 3. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. They don't want lemonade stands in the world. You think it's a surprise? I just heard in North Dakota, after 50 years of having this beautiful monument of the Ten Commandments in North Dakota, they just removed it because it was offensive to a couple of people in the town. Two people came along and said, we don't like the Ten Commandments. We're offended. 5,000 people didn't have a problem with it. But because two people didn't like the lemonade stand right in the middle of town with the Ten Commandments that says, don't kill, don't lie, don't steal. Those are horrible. We hate those. That's offensive to us. And so they said, we don't want this lemonade in this stand in town. And I say, the Bible says, for a time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what they want to say. You know, it's not surprising that most people will find their own drink. They won't find lemonade, they'll go find their own drink. It doesn't amaze me that bars are packed on Friday and Saturday night. Susan and I went out for St. Paddy's Day. And we stopped in a local restaurant to have something to eat with some friends late at night. It was a late night. We just got some hors d'oeuvres. It was packed. Oh, my goodness. It was packed. And everybody had these huge, green, tall beer things. Huge. Giant. Massive. Miniature keggers. And they were just having a good time. And I didn't know it, but they have a bus that goes around and takes them to all these different places. And I went, oh, we're right in the middle. And they come by and they're doing this. Now, some people would have the attitude of, oh, I can't believe that is a pastor of a church that they're... I was just kind of talking to people. Hey, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're just at St. Paddy's Day. We're just trying to have some fun. You know what? You can go condemn and do all you want. These people aren't out there saying, well, I hope my life stinks. I hope I can abuse this alcohol. That's not what they're doing. It doesn't surprise me that people set up their own lemonade stands with their own drinks because the church only offers sour drinks. Most churches offer the lemons. And we stand there and we say, you're horrible. That's a sin. That's a sin. That's a sin. They know it. What we need to offer is the living water of Jesus Christ. You know, you mix what you want with what you need, and you're going to get life. What do they want? Well, in Harvard, they did a study. A guy went and did a huge study. He did his thesis doctorate on bars and the comparison that bars are just like churches. And here's what he said. People drinking is the social hour. Everybody wants to kind of get together, and they use beer as an excuse. Churches use food, which we will hear in a few minutes. Says the bartender, everybody sits up and talks to the bartender and tells them all their problems. Guess what? That's just like the church, the pastor. And everybody wants to go to a place where everyone knows your name. They just want friends. Come on, the real world, you got to go get a job. You can't hang around a coffee shop every day. But they got lemons. And so the Bible says you need to go to them. No wonder why bars are packed. And churches aren't. You know what we do in churches? We grab one of these. Ah. Ha. 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 Hold on. I'll be all right. It wasn't supposed to go like that. We offer the world this without that. No wonder they go, church. Oh, you're a Christian? See, with a little water, that's not bad. That should taste kind of good. Why don't you offer them something different? We can offer the world something to drink that the Bible says in Psalms 20, Bible says in Psalms 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm thirsty. And I hope you're thirsty too. Because Paul says this, and I close with this. Paul said, pour out your life. He says, I'm already being poured out. I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. Isn't that what it says there in verse 6? I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. Go to Nicaragua. There's 133 kids down there, and 50% of them don't have water that they can drink. 50% of them have a virus because they don't have good water that they can drink. I want to go dig a well. I want to pour out my life. I want to go to the streets of Port Huron. I want to meet people, neighbor to neighbor. I want to go find out who my neighbors are, and I want to pour out my life and invite them next door. I want to get a food truck and see if there's some people in this area that could actually use some groceries, because I want to pour out my life. And Paul says, I'm being poured out like a drink offering. You know what a drink offering is in the Bible? In the Old Testament, they had the sacrifice, the animal they would burn, and they'd cook, then they would eat. And that was the offering to God. And they'd take the best meat and give it to God, and then they would eat. But you know what they do? They'd take wine, strong wine, and they would dump it on the offering. And that was called a drink offering, and they would dump it on the offering. And you know what happened? That hot cooking meat, you know what happened to the wine? Just a puff of smoke. That's all it was. And they'd offer up this wine to God, this drink. And all it was a vapor. And Paul says, my whole life means nothing to me. That'd be a vapor. If people don't remember my name, I don't care. But I will pour my life on the sacrifice of God. And you know what the Lamb is? Jesus Christ. I pour myself. My life is a drink offering. God, pour me out. And if days come from now, nobody remembers my name, I'm okay with that. Most people have the problem with, I want everyone to know what I just did. I just gave. The Pharisees were that way. Did you see what I just did? I was in a church one time. There was a flood in Ohio. We sent a tractor to help back up the levees, to help support the levees. And somebody in the church got the bright idea to make sure, we had to make sure we had a name of our church on that tractor. I was so mad. We want everybody to know if it's on the news, that was us. I said, for what? It's Christ and Christ alone. It's His lemons, His lemonade stand. It's His booth. Sometimes we're so worried about people knowing, hey, I go to Grace Ministry. You know what? That's great that you're here. My pastor is Pastor Mitch, Pastor Kevin. That's great that we're your pastors. You know, to be honest with you, I just want you to go build a lemonade stand. And if people say, what are you? Say, I follow Jesus Christ. I love Jesus Christ with all my heart. And if people look at you and they don't know anything else about you, and they look at you and all they see is Jesus, then you have done your job. You have a wonderful lemonade stand. And I guarantee you, they will line around the block to pay whatever price there is because you have a lemonade stand. Because people will pay anything to have everything fixed in their lives. When they're desperate enough and they see a lemonade stand that works and they hear a testimony from Tanya and they hear a testimony about Jamie and they hear a testimony about Kayla and they hear a testimony about their hearts being changed, they will line up for blocks to come have a drink of that water. You go set up a lemonade stand and get out of the way and watch God work. I was listening on the radio in Minnesota. I was living in Iowa and they were talking about the traffic jam. Traffic today is really backed up. But it was an off-road. It wasn't the interstate. And they said the traffic is really backed up. They said, but it's not because of rush hour. They were backed up for miles and miles. And they were all driving by. The night before, they'd had a huge fire and it burned down this old church that nobody attended. And the reason they were going by, because all the bricks had fallen, there was very little standing, everything was charred, the smoke was coming up from the pillars that were lying there in the ashes. And standing at the center of the front of where this church used to be was a statue of Jesus with His hands out. That's all that remained in this church. And people were lined up for miles because they wanted to see Jesus. You know what it took? It took for the church to burn, to get on fire, before anybody could see Jesus in there. It took the building walls to come down for people to see Jesus. Can I tell you something? Let the walls come down. Go build a franchise. They're available. Let's stand and pray. God, You are so good to us. Today, Father, it is my desire to invite people to take a risk. To invest into a franchise. There may be some here today that were thinking, I'd like to be a part of that. And maybe like my father, they have someone close to them that talks them out. Today, Lord, help them to sign on the dotted line to say, Jesus, I want to be a part of that. I'll open up a lemonade stand. You let your life shine through me. I submit my will to your will. I want to be a part of the miracle. And so, God, whatever it takes, today I lay myself, I pour myself out on that altar, on the Lamb of God. Lord, I am a drink offering. I am giving you my life. Please help me, Lord. There may be some here that they're at the end of their ropes. And I just pray, God, that with their lemons, you bring the living water of Jesus Christ and you let them see the sweetness of God. The Scripture says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord look to and fro about the whole earth. He's looking about the whole earth, seeking those whose hearts are right towards Him, that He might show Himself powerful on their behalf. Lord, let that be me. Let your eyes rest right here in Port Huron, Michigan. Look at me. Look at us. Let us build lemonade stands everywhere we go. And may people line up around the block to see you. And I pray this in the name of the Father. I pray this in the name of the Son. And we pray this in the strong name of the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. God bless you. There's a meeting right outside that door in that other room. For those of you in Wyoming and the rest, just relax. We're going to have some fellowship here with some finger foods.